Welcome to Rugged Theology, where we talk church planting, theology, and drink coffee. And we're back. Welcome back to, I don't know, I want to say season three or something, but...
It's a season. I have no idea how many seasons done, really.
Last year, we kept going like right through the year, and we took a break this year, which was nice. But welcome back to Rugged Theology. I am your typical host that you have listened to for like a year and a half, if you stuck with us that long, Adam Diamond. And we are back with a theology episode today, and I had a different crew scheduled today, but they kept bailing on me. I had Matt Leahy.
So you're stuck with us.
Yeah, I'm stuck with you guys.
Yeah, sorry, man.
I have Matt Leahy, but he took off to Myrtle Beach to go talk to some partner churches or something. I mean, come on. And then I had Curtis Rogers, and then he took off to Turkey with the military. I mean,
slackers.
He flew the coop. No, there we go.
That's probably more correct, yeah.
And then I had Rob Noble, and the dude went and got sick. I mean... Yeah, I just can't win with this one.
So, Steve, we're not even like the B team.
We're like the F team or the.
No, you guys were originally on the podcast. Let's be. Don't do that to me. It was all just one slot. It was Matt first, then Curtis, then Rob. Then
so, what you're saying then is that nobody wants to go on the show with us.
Yeah, it could be you two could be the problem. I don't know.
It's true. It's okay.
It's been a while since you guys have been here. So let's do a theology episode. And just off the top of my head here, let's do, did Jesus claim to be God?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there goes that one.
It was pretty fast, wasn't it?
Yeah, want to see me run around the world? Want to see me do it again? All right, guys.
They can't see anything. This is audio only, right?
That's what makes it even better. They just have to trust that I ran around the world.
Or a lot worse.
I'm going with that one, a lot worse.
So I just claimed I ran around the world, but did Jesus claim to be God? See that segue? That was deadly. So let's get into this one. Does it matter if Jesus was God? So we said, you know, Steve, you kind of gave us a spoiler that Jesus did claim to be God.
Yes, he did.
So maybe I'll have to edit in a spoiler alert. I should record my own thing, like, spoiler alert.
Possibly.
It should be just that.
You just totally did it.
Just take that
just take that out and put it back where
I'll put that in a little sound effect board there.
That's awesome.
So you gave us a spoiler alert that Jesus did claim to be God, but it's a very often the argument used that Jesus didn't exactly claim to be God. So just before we answer that question, does it matter if Jesus was God?
Well, that's going to depend largely. Well, yes, it does matter, but it's going to depend largely on if you're matter for what. Does it matter for, I don't know, whether or not you think that the Bible is true? Yeah, it does. Where does it matter for whether or not God, Jesus Christ could die for your sins? Yeah, it does. Does it matter for whether or not Buddhism is true? Eh, not really.
It doesn't really affect Sikhism or Buddhism.
Not really, no. But it does affect Christianity, and pretty centrally. Because if Jesus isn't God, he's one of us. And if he's one of us, he has the same negatives that we do, namely the sin that we were born into. And if that's the case... Well, he can't die for anybody else's sin. He has to die for his own, even if he did lead a sinless life.
Yeah, if he was just a person, it would just change Christianity altogether. Like, I don't think any of us would say that we worship a man.
No, and in fact, we would be blasphemous to do that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things you could say. I mean, another just couple quick ones that come to my mind. The idea of Jesus being the mediator, representing man to God, but also then God to man. I mean, right. At the end of John, or it's not the end of John 1, it's somewhere in the middle of John chapter 1, it talks about how Jesus basically came and reveals the Father to us. Not a perfect quote, but, you know, he does reveal God to us, and if he wasn't really God himself, how would he be able to reflect God to humanity in the same way?
And of course, there is the other thing. If I'm right, and you know, Jesus did claim to be God, and we have evidence of him claiming to be God in Scripture,
then he'd be a liar,
or crazy at the level of somebody who thinks his head is a cheese Danish or something.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what was the C.S. Lewis that said that Jesus is either who he said he was or a lunatic,
right?
Right, and or no,
liar, lunatic, or Lord.
Yeah, there you go. And that's what you've got to come down to. Who was he? Because if he was a liar, then you're trusting the words of a liar. Mm-hmm. If he's a lunatic, then you're trusting the words of a crazy man, because this is the same man that gave us teachings, you know, talked about, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, mm-hmm. you know, talked about, you know, looking in your own eye before someone else's, look at, you know, what's wrong with you before you look at someone else. A lot of teachings that we see in society today and people want to perpetuate, but don't accept Jesus as God. So are you following the teachings of a liar or a crazy man?
Yeah, and if you are following the teachings of a liar or a crazy man, doesn't that mean that, I mean, essentially that these things that you're following, that you're believing, could also be, well, crazy?
Yeah, questionable at the very least.
Right.
So it does matter that Jesus was God. That's a central claim to Christianity. Just a very quick
intro question. I'm just going to change a verb tense there, that Jesus is God.
Yes. Yes, he is God. We're not talking past tense. Jesus is God, he was God, and he will forever be God. So let's get into the meat of this one. Did he claim to be God? And let's see it in Scripture. Let's see some proof, guys. Like, prove it to me.
Yeah. And Dave just kind of stares off into
Dave's
space,
like,
right now.
I'm done. We got to start recording these on video so people can see. All right, guys. Scripture. Where in Scripture do we see Jesus saying, I am God?
Well, the Gospel of John says it in a couple of places. A famous one is John 8, 58 to 59. You know, Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, that doesn't sound quite so extreme in English, and especially if you don't understand Christianity very well or Judaism very well, but the word there, I am, is the same construction that you're going to see in Exodus 3:14, if you're going to look at the Septuagint, because the New Testament's written in Greek, the Old Testament's written in Hebrew, but the standard translation in the Old Testament of the Old Testament at the time of Jesus was called the Septuagint. And is Exodus 3:14, in that it gives the name of God as, well, I am. And in fact, it's the same construction, if you go back and look at the Greek, as you see Jesus saying here in John 14:8, or sorry, not John, is it John 14:8? Yeah. Anyway.
And just to drive that home too, like if you actually go to Exodus, you know, chapter
3.
John
8:58, sorry.
Moses says to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say? And then God says, I am who I am. So, like, it is very specific.
Yep.
Like, this is God's name.
Right.
And that's what Jesus drops. So it's very clear. It's not ambiguous.
Well, and I mean, even right. In the context of John 8, before Abraham was. Now, again, historically speaking, Abraham lived a little bit before Jesus, like 1,500 years before Jesus. We're talking a long time ago. And Abraham was considered the father of the nation. And so we're talking about somebody who was a long, long time ago. And Jesus is saying, before Abraham was, I am. So at least he's claiming eternality there.
Mm-hmm. And it's clearly picked up from the people because they try to stone him because they think he's being blasphemous.
Well, yeah.
So again.
And what do they say to him?
I'm just turning to John 9. I was in Exodus now. Or John 8, sorry.
All right.
So the Jews just say to them, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?
Yep.
In my Christology book here, guys, the one that I used my course back in Bible college is called Vital Christology Issues. General editor Roy B. Zuck. Anyway, so this chapter on Did Jesus Claim to Be God says this. Jesus did not claim mere pre-existence to Abraham, which would have been expressed by the imperfect tense of the verb used concerning Abraham, but eternal existence, the self-existence that belongs to God alone. Yahweh applied the same phrase to himself, like you said, Steve, as his name in his call to Moses at the burning bush.
Yeah.
So like we said, it wasn't just pre-existence. Jesus isn't, no, I'm older than Abraham.
Yeah. And like I said, it's if you look at the Septuagint and in the New Testament, mm-hmm. it's really striking because it is actually exactly the same construction. Like, it's the same words.
Almost like Ego Jesus Amy. Knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he actually intended that. Probably.
Mm, well, almost he did.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and it's consistent with the other things that he's done. Like, there are things that Jesus does throughout Scripture that are, well, God things. Like, in the New Testament, in parts in, like, Matthew 14:33 and 28:9, he receives worship. And to give you an idea, in almost every case everywhere else in Scripture, when somebody tries to get a worship something that isn't God, mm-hmm. they're immediately told not to, or somebody gets punished. I mean, look at what happens to Herod in Acts.
Yeah, and we see through angels, like you said, when angels come and people bow down to them, they're like, no, don't worship me.
Right.
I'm not the one to be worshipped. In Revelation, right. we have John who goes to worship an angel, and the angel says, no, I'm a fellow servant.
Right.
You need to worship God. I mean, like, so it's, and yeah, but yeah, Jesus accepts that worship. So what do we do with that if Jesus isn't God?
Right. Jesus would be at the very least a blasphemer, and a blasphemer that for some reason God doesn't punish.
Mm-hmm. And if you guys want another one, go to John chapter 10, starting in verse 27. Jesus is saying, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And then in verse 30, he says, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one.
And then what do the people say?
And then, hey, it's just like John chapter 8. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him.
Yep. And he actually asks, is this the one where he asks him the question? Because Jesus, I think there's a part in
John. Oh, yeah. Jesus answered them, I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?
And they reply, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy. Because you, being a man, make yourself God.
Yeah. So they didn't misunderstand what Jesus was doing. Now, there's a bit more of the back and forth there that we can read, but it does seem pretty clear that he's saying, no, I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, another place, Philip says to him in John 14:8-11, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on account of the works themselves.
Yeah, Boz, if you don't believe me, then at least believe the stuff I'm doing for you.
Exactly.
Like that's pretty straightforward, I think.
It is kind of clear in the New Testament that Jesus claims to be God pretty regularly. Now, there are parts of the New Testament that seem a little bit strange. I mean, there are things about Jesus that are different than the Father. Like, for example, Jesus in his incarnate state doesn't have knowledge of the end times. He talks about that.
And we could talk about, you know, how Jesus didn't know who touched him in the crowd.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, we can do an episode later on, you know, the kenosis of Christ. But there's also, guys, Mark 14:2, if we want to talk about, you know, times that people assumed Jesus was being blasphemous.
Yep.
Jesus says when he's being held at council, he says, I am, and what they say, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, in Mark 14, verse 61. Mm-hmm. And Jesus replies, verse 62, I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, coming with the clouds of heaven. And then it says, and the high priest tore his garments and said, what further witnesses do we need? You have heard this. You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision? And then they all condemn him to death. Like they take that as blatant blasphemy. that Jesus would say, like, I am the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, and you will see me, basically, see at the right hand of God coming with the clouds of heaven.
Right. So he's pretty clear on that one there. But, I mean, there's other things, too. Like, Jesus forgives sins. Like, that's not anything that God can do, anything other than God can do. Isaiah 43:25 points out, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. God forgives sins. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, in places like Luke 5:20, Jesus says, Son, your sins are forgiven.
And it's funny. I mean, I typically just I more naturally read Mark, but in Mark chapter 2, with that same parallel passage,
yeah,
that's even the dialogue that they kind of have, like the everybody around is thinking, again, thinking they're not actually saying, like, who is this guy to say that? And then Jesus' whole point, he says, you know, what's easier for me to say, get up, because he's dealing with a paralytic,
yeah,
to tell this guy to get up and walk, or to say your sins are forgiven. And then he says, so you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. I say to you, get up and walk. And the dude gets up.
Yeah, so
just like
not only does he like, claim to be God, he backs it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And we also have Jesus claiming to be Lord of the Sabbath.
Yeah, which is another big one.
Right, so he applies his interpretation of that law that was given to them by God,
yep,
in the Ten Commandments. So now Jesus is stating the same authority to be able to change that.
Right. Now, there is some concern some people would raise about the fact that Jesus keeps calling himself the Son of Man,
mm-hmm,
you know, so that the Son of, so that you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Or, but the fact is that's actually a prophetic title of the Messiah.
From Daniel.
Exactly. One like a Son of Man.
Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is.
And, sorry, just one other thing. For people who would say that, that's when I'd also point them to things like John chapter 8, because it's not exclusively or only claims about being the Son of Man. There is also direct claim to
right.
be I am.
Yes. Right?
So it's not just one, but there's multiple claims.
Mm-hmm. So we might not actually get Jesus saying the words, I am God, which for some reason people want him to say.
No, directly. But he says, I am eternal. I can forgive sins. I have power over nature and over health.
And even so, if God has a name, which he does, which he himself says in Exodus 3, Jesus says, I am
He claims name. That name.
And he teaches disciples to say, pray to God as your Father. Oh, and I and the Father are one.
And he receives worship after he is risen from the dead.
Yeah. So he may not say, I am God, but, you know, he does everything else.
Right? Oh, darn. He didn't check this one box. Oh, what do I do? No. So, guys, this is a common argument people try to use to disprove Christianity. I've seen, you know, recent videos on YouTube. It just pops up in my feed, those little real things or whatever. And
yeah.
I listen to their arguments, and I'm like, ugh. But why do you think this is a popular one that people try to use to disprove Christianity?
Well, I mean, it would be the easiest way to disprove Christianity. As I've been saying earlier in a completely different context, Christianity is about Christ. If Jesus isn't the Christ, Christianity is false. Just a simple fact.
Mm-hmm.
And the Christ is, well, God.
I do wonder why, though, people are so insistent. I guess you're so caught up in your denial or you're so blind to what's in front of you that you demand Jesus must say in the words, I am God, or he's not God.
Well, there's also the fact that you have a vested interest in believing that he's not God, usually. I mean, the fact, and to be honest, I'm going to be in my worst times, I have a vested interest in believing that he's not God because he makes a lot of claims and desires for my life that I might not like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he tells me to repent and sin no more, like, that's not something I enjoy, especially given the things that the Bible tells me are sin.
Yeah, there's parts of our sin that a lot of us tend to like.
Well, right? I mean, to be honest, that's the reason we sin. We sin because we like it.
Greed, lust,
yeah,
anger, pride.
Gluttony.
Yeah, and the other thing, too.
Gluttony.
I mean, if people, I mean, I guess it depends on whether or not you believe the claim then, but if people are to say that he claimed to be God and that he is God, well, I guess those are two different things, so never mm-hmm. mind. I take it back.
Thanks for that input, Dave.
It was quite solid.
That was very useful.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, at least I remember what the question actually was. I could have got on with more nonsense.
That reminds me actually of the part in Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one where the boys are in the little rowboat there, the dinghy, and he's reading the Bible. He's like, "What are you reading? The Bible? But you can't even read." He's like, "It's the Bible. You get credit for trying." I mean, sadly, you don't get credit for trying. I mean,
well, it's a different question. I mean, as to why we think that reading the Bible is so important.
Yeah, I mean, this is part of it, so that you know how to answer these questions,
right?
But that you're wholly convinced that Jesus is who He said He was, that He is the Christ, He is the Son of Man, He is the Son of God, He is God in flesh.
Yeah, and ultimately, our Christian faith is faith in Jesus Christ.
I mean, you've got the Case for Christ story by Lee Strobel, where he tries to undo the resurrection, right? He tries to disprove it, and he can't. That's a story, and it's a true story. But this is almost like, okay, well, let's go beyond that, right? If we can prove Jesus isn't God, that He never claimed to be it. But, I mean, we can go back and see that culturally it was accepted that Jesus was claiming equality with the Father,
right,
with God.
Now, to be clear, too, there's another reason why you might want to say that Jesus never claimed to be God, and that is if you want to say that you are, in fact, morally superior to any Christian viewpoint, because, you know, the Christians, they don't know their Jesus very well. Jesus never claimed to be God. That's another reason why you might want to do it, to discredit people who disagree with you in the modern marketplace of ideas.
It's almost along the same lines of, and it just gave me an idea for another podcast episode, so we'll do this one later. But when people keep saying Jesus is about love.
Correct.
Right? Like, yes, but like, yeah. Working that out and what that looks like is different from how you're using it and how you're...
Yeah, I mean, to go all Princess Bride on it, you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Yeah, so we'll have to use that clip in that episode, but we'll look forward to that episode. We'll do one on that. Is Jesus all about love? But if Jesus isn't God, I mean, He doesn't have authority over your life. You don't have to worry about the consequences of what the Bible says about hell. You can just say He was a good moral teacher. You can, because it's a way to use His teachings without the consequences of, you know, the moral judgment, the righteous judgment of God. It's a way to use, hey, I need to love my neighbor as I love myself. And Jesus never claimed to be God, so I can follow that teaching now.
And you can edit out the parts you don't like.
Oh, absolutely. Because
He's just a good moral teacher. So good moral teachers can have, you know, good teachings and bad teachings. And so, you know, He can get it wrong on one or two points.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if we think Jesus never claimed to be God, if you're going at it from that mindset right from the beginning, right, you can then start to cut out pieces where it seems that Jesus would have claimed equality with God.
Right.
The part about the Sabbath. Yeah, let's cut that out.
And you can also then start cutting out other things that you don't like. You know, His problem with, I don't know, fornication. His difficulty with lust, or His difficulties with greed.
Mm-hmm.
You might actually want to edit those out so that you can engage in those sins. But, you know, you'll be able to say, I love your neighbors yourself still.
Right. Or, you know, don't judge me. Only God can judge me.
Yeah, that's another one of those, you say that, but I don't think you know what that means.
Yeah, God will judge you. I don't think you're going to like it.
yeah.
But, I mean, we can get into that in another episode, but, you know, when it comes down to it, it's that Jesus did claim to be God, not in the words that we would expect Him to, but in the way that the culture would have expected Him to.
Right. And He backed it up.
Yeah, I mean, His works... His teaching, I mean, there's places in the Bible where it says, like, what kind of teaching is this? We've never heard teaching like this before, right, with such authority.
And He, well, rose from the dead.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah. That should be a major sign to some people. All right, guys, is there anything else you want to add to this? I think we've knocked this one out of the park a bit, despite Steve's spoiler.
I don't think it was a spoiler. You asked me the question. I gave you the answer.
Steve's taking offense to me now.
Well, yeah.
No, but All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming back in. I think I'll get you two, and if I can get anyone else when they're not sick or traveling to have a chat with you, I'll get them to join us on the Jesus. I just totally blanked. Oh, I'll get them to join us on Is Jesus All About Love?
Did Jesus blank?
I don't think Jesus ever blanked. That would be weird. He probably wouldn't be God if he blanked. Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this conversation, feel free to let us know. Let us know about any topics you might want to hear about, and look forward to episodes from special guests. I got a few special guests lined up. We're going to take a look at theological issues and church planting issues, and just give you insight at some point into our lives here, give you some stories from the ground. Got a whole slew of things planned up for this, we'll officially call a season of this podcast. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you again next week. You've been listening to Rugged Theology. Rugged Theology is brought to you by Mile One Mission. If you want to know more about Mile One Mission and our work in Newfoundland and Labrador, visit www.mileonemission.ca.